Welcome to Church Online as we gather together as a community today, and a special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn, I'm the minister at Adelaide West, and I'll be sharing with you today. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, foster fathers and godfathers today. We wish you joy and laughter. We also acknowledge that for some, today brings sadness through the loss of a dad or a child, or through a broken or complicated relationship, or the sadness of never being a dad. We pray for God's peace in your life today, and that together we can celebrate fatherhood. We light a candle. Perhaps for some of us, we light this candle remembering fathers that are no longer with us. Or if we can't be with our fathers for various reasons, including fathers over borders at present. For all of us, we light our candles, remembering God as Father to us, always there, ever present. Last week, Paddy Cross passed away. Paddy was a much loved member of Adelaide West. Before that, a member of Brooklyn Park Uniting Church, and before that, a member of Brooklyn Park Methodist Church, both of those with her beloved Norm. Her faith was inspirational to us all. She was committed and faithful to God and to the church, and involved in so many ways, and she will be greatly missed as a woman of faith, love, compassion, prayer, and serving. Due to the current restrictions, her funeral will be private, but it is being live streamed on Wednesday at 1 p.m. and you can go to the Ivan Butler funerals for the link. Veil to our Paddy. Last Sunday we celebrated the baptism of Xander Stewart. It was a time of joy with Xander's mum Kelly and for all of Xander's family and for us as a congregation together. So I want to share that with us now as well. After the message this morning, we'll be sharing communion. So you might like to have some juice and some bread ready for that. We hope that this service is refreshing for your soul this morning or whenever you're watching it. We worship together, raising our sacrifice of praise to our God.
Do you? Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and didn't want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, then spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He had done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Desperation. We've seen desperation just in the last few weeks. People desperately trying to flee Afghanistan, even to the point of trying to climb onto planes as they're taking off. It just breaks our hearts. We've seen it so many times, too many times. We've seen in the news people desperately trying to leave their countries, desperately fleeing war, poverty, injustice. The Syrian refugee crisis is in its 11th year now, and it remains one of the world's largest refugee and displacement crises of our time. There are over 13 million Syrians either displaced or refugees. Many are families with desperate parents trying to get their kids out, and we continue to pray for them. We continue to reach out and to care. We've just heard the story of a woman from Syria, a desperate mother with a sick child described as demon-possessed. She's a Gentile, not a Jew, from Syrophoenicia, a region under the administration of Syria at the time. She's the most unlikely person to associate with Jesus. She was pagan, considered unclean, a woman, and from a country that was the enemy of Israel. But she's desperate. We've heard on so many healing stories in Mark so far. We almost anticipate the healing, another incident, pretty much part of a regular day for Jesus. This incident is somewhat political, like many others. Jesus has walked to Tyre. He was trying to sneak away. He's in retreat, looking for some space. He's no longer on country, so to speak. We've just had the stories of Jesus feeding the 500 plus, Jesus walking on water, and a discourse with the Pharisees, a religious sect at the time, about clean and unclean habits, that which defiles a person, and who is in and who is out. And then we come to this awkward encounter, where the woman begs Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And here's the surprise. Jesus responds with, "First, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Ouch! Oh, Jesus, this seems harsh. It is strong language. Jesus sounds grumpy. Is he having a bad day, or is he frustrated that his solitude is interrupted? We can appreciate the tiredness of Jesus, tiredness of ministry, of the crowds following him, tired of the suffering. He could well have compassion fatigue. He didn't want to be found, but he has been. And it's possible that a good Jewish rabbi shouldn't have been in Tyre, but he was there to retreat, hoping not to be found. The Jews didn't like Gentiles and often referred to them as dogs. Likewise, what Gentiles said to about Jews was also rather uncomplimentary. At this stage in his ministry, he's concentrating on the Jews. The good news is first to the Jews, then to the others. And in the Old Testament, we read that the good news was first for the people of Israel and then through them to the rest of the world. But the woman replies to Jesus with, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." She agrees with Jesus. She understands about the priority of Israel, but she's desperate. In her reply, we hear that she recognizes the plan to reach the nations, and she's asking for that now. In fact, this woman is the first person to recognize the global mission of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, and it hasn't come from religious leaders, but from an outcast, someone despised by the Jews, a woman of low standing at the time. And it's the only time in Mark that Jesus is referred to as Lord. That is significant too. Jesus recognizes her faith and says, "Okay, I see your faith," and heals her daughter. Imagine the delight in the little girl healed. We could only imagine the transformation in the daughter, in the mother, in the family and friends, in the town. Here we see the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. He's very human in this story. In fact, he seems to display the human condition to judge others. Perhaps he hadn't fully realized the implications of his mission. Perhaps his eyes are opened through this encounter. I don't buy the theory that he's testing her. Testing someone who is distraught and desperate doesn't seem consistent with the way that Jesus acted in other parts of the Bible. But I can envisage or understand that Jesus is growing in his understanding of his global mission. And in doing so, he finds faith in unexpected places, not amongst the people of Israel, not in the religious leaders, but in the least expected. The gospel is for all people, regardless of race or gender. Today we see the church is growing across all nations, all cultures. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, transcends race, culture, gender, and time. And this little story is a part of that. And then we have the second healing. Jesus travels from Tyre to the Sea of Galilee. A man who was deaf and could hardly talk was brought to him by some people as his advocates. They beg Jesus to place his hand on him. The man is an outcast, probably needed to beg to live. Jesus takes him away in private, away from the crowds, whereas the healing of the woman's daughter was from afar. This one is close, personal, intimate. Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears. He spits and touches the man's tongue. He looks up to heaven and he sighs and says, "Ephphatha," translated as "be opened." This is a multi-sensory experience. In privacy, touching the man's head, sighing, speaking, it's all around the man who was deaf, in his face, literally. Jesus reaches out. He meets the man where he's at. Imagine what this would have been like for the man. From silence to noise, from silence to speech. Jesus commands them to not tell anyone. He wants to keep a lid on this. He has a mission to accomplish. The religious leaders and legal experts were already angry with him in a world where rumor was fast and effective, being talked about as a prophet would raise more attention, and particularly the attention of the authorities. But the word gets out. They can't stop talking about it. This is not a political leak, an email that's gone astray, an oops moment. This is a shouting from the mountaintops leak. People are overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. In both of these stories, we find advocates for those needing healing, needing change in their lives. Both the mother and the group of people who brought the man who was deaf had faith that Jesus could heal. And Jesus found faith in the unexpected places. In both of these stories, there's a desire for things to be different. The daughter to be well, the deaf man to hear and speak. Each of us have that same desire for things to be different, whether it's health, brokenness, hurts, injustice, prejudice, the world around us, the pandemic to end. These stories give us hope. Jesus made things different. Both the woman and the man would have been marginalized. In the first century, the poor, the infirm, the orphaned, the mentally ill, foreigners, and many women lived with a very low status. If Syrophoenician lives matter and deaf lives matter, then all lives matter, including the marginalized in society. We hear some echoes here of the Black Lives Matter movement and the Me Too movement today. I wonder how this passage has spoken to you today. There are so many things in this for us. How gracious are we with others when we lose an argument? Jesus recognizes the strength of the woman's argument and grants her request for her daughter to be healed. Am I that gracious when I know the other person is right? Or do I hold on? Barriers divide people. The mother's love for her sick child took her across boundaries of gender and religion and ethnic origins. Are we working to make the church, our church, a place in which all people are welcome as brothers and sisters in Christ? This passage follows the passage on what is clean and unclean, who is in and who is out. And that's important. The writer, Mark, has written his gospel with placement in mind. There is no unclean. And yet still today, the language may be different, but wars, oppression, policies on foreigners are in a sense calling out unclean to others. In our thoughts, in our minds, who do we think of as unclean? How do we treat people who are other to us in our lives? These are two healing stories, reminding us that healings are not some form of special magic or a promise that God will protect believers from illness. And we know that not everyone is healed. We see that in the Bible and we see that in our own lives. But our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in God's abundance, and we continue to hope that this world will be a better place. It strikes me that both of these stories are about voices. Voices speaking out for a better world. Voices being heard by Jesus. A voice restored to be heard. And voices telling others how great Jesus is. And this reminds me of prayer. Praying for a better world, praying for the people in our lives, praying for healing and restoration. And this prayer is heard by God. And we pray for our world, for refugees, including Syrians and Afghans. We come in humility, as the desperate mother did, not in entitlement, but with humility and a persistent faith. And so we come in prayer, in humility, in faith, and Jesus hears the voices desperately asking for change as Jesus gives hope and life. God's kingdom is different to our understanding of the world. It is outside in, all embracing, love in abundance to all. God's kingdom is accepting. God's kingdom brings hope. God's kingdom brings transformation. Acceptance, hope, and transformation in Jesus, our vision statement. Jesus found faith in the unexpected places. And so we seek faith in our own lives in the unexpected places, inspired by this as the story of a desperate woman, a hurting man, and a response of grace. The story of radical inclusion, God's abundance and restoration, a story of healing and hope that is worth shouting from the mountaintops. Amen. Communion is a visible sign of God's love and grace. Together with our in-person services, we are drawn here by God's amazing grace. We are virtually connected, a gathered community connected by time and participating together for us now and with Christians across the world. We remember how it all began. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, he broke it and shared it among them. Similarly, he blessed and passed around a cup of wine from which they all drank. Today we remember a body broken and a life poured out. Following the example of Jesus, we take this bread and wine, which the Spirit blesses. And as Jesus gave thanks before sharing, let us do so also. Let's pray. In this time and place, O God, you prepare a table, offering not just bread or wine, but your very presence, your abundant love, and your amazing grace. that we may be filled, forgiven, encouraged, and sent out again. Risen Christ, present with us now, thank you for all that you have done, all that you have promised. We're sorry for the times that we miss the mark, when our hearts are full of our own self-concern, when we exclude others, for when we do say or think things that separate us from you or from each other. Thank you that these things, our sins, are forgiven. We are set free. Holy God, pour out your Spirit upon us and on these gifts of bread and juice, that they may remind us of the body and blood of Christ, so that united to him we may become all that you call us to be, attentive and present to the world, until at last your reign of justice and peace comes. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory is yours forever. Amen. I invite you to join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. You can do that in your preferred version and in your preferred language. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to take the bread and to tear it apart. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. A reminder that we are a broken people and we're put back together by God. And the cup that we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ, reminding us of the life of Christ. Here in this moment, graced by the Spirit of hope and peace, we discover the abundant, the wonderful love that Jesus has for us, and we rejoice that these are the gifts of God for us, the people of God. I invite you to take and eat the bread. Share it around with others in the room if you're with others. And remember Jesus' body broken and his compassion for us. And we take the cup, remembering the life that Jesus lived and the life that we are called to live. As we've taken communion together, we're reminded how we're bonded together as family and as humanity. And so we pause to pray. Pray for our world, pray for those around us. Let's pray. Loving Father, we pray for our world, the places of war, injustice, poverty, flooding, fire, and pain. We pray for peace, justice, food, rescue, safety, and restoration. We continue to pray for those areas in our world affected by COVID-19, and especially those battling the virus, those grieving who've lost loved ones, those tending the sick, and all those in lockdown and dealing with the complexities of living in hotspots at this time. Lord Jesus, we pray for fathers today, particularly those stuck over borders, for those in detention, in prison, not able to see their children today, for those grieving the loss of their dad or the loss of a relationship or dealing with a complicated relationship. We pray for those who've dreamt of being a dad but aren't, and for those that don't see their children much or at all. And we pray for all those who are dads to us, in other ways, as stepdads, godfathers, family members. Holy Spirit, we pray for people on our hearts today. We lift the faces of people who are hurting, struggling, facing health issues. And we pray for your peace, your healing, your hope to surround them. We give you our gifts today, financial and practical, and we pray that they would be a witness, share the story of your great love. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, whose mercy remains, whose grace is never ending. Amen.
A thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. I'm lost, your light will shine when all else fades. Never end, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Your will my purpose remains, the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. I've lost, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from me inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from me. Sighing out, Lord, my soul cries out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the end. Sighing out, Lord, my soul cries out from the end. Sighing out, Lord, my soul.
We do hope this service has brought you hope and joy today. If you would like prayer, you can press the prayer button if you're watching live, or send us an email. We would love to pray with you. This week, be in prayer, in humility and in faith. As Jesus found faith in the unexpected places, so we seek to be faithful and to find faith in the unexpected places of our own lives. May you know God's abundance and restoration, healing and hope. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always. Amen. Happy Father's Day.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be for